Due to the graphic nature of this podcast subject matter, listeners' discretion is advised. This episode of Missing by Midnight will discuss murder, suicide, homophobia, hate crimes, and eating disorders. Any opinions expressed on today's podcast do not reflect Ryerson's opinion. If you have any information relevant to today's case, please contact the Ottawa Police at 613-236-1222, extension line 2355, or 1-800-222-8477. Hello, and welcome to Missing by Midnight, where each episode brushes away the dust on missing and unsolved cases. I'm your host, Jada, and today we will be examining the disappearance of Eve Jodoin. So, part of the reason that we have decided to investigate this case this week is because it comes from my hometown, Ottawa, and it is a case that I personally have never heard of, and I actually spoke to a lot of locals about this case, asking if they had heard about it, and it seems like this is pretty unknown. It did take place in the 80s, so I don't think that missing children were made as big of a deal as it is today. And it's also a very old case that doesn't have enough information about it. The sources were extremely limited on this case, but it is a case sponsored by the Missing Children's Society of Canada. And I'm sure that even though it's been 40 years, the family is still grieving the loss of their brother, or if one of the parents is still alive, their son. And it's still extremely difficult on the family to not know what happened to Eve. So let's dive into the case. Eve Jodoin was born sometime in 1967 and was the third of four children. Not much is known about his early life, but in 1981, his mother passed away when he was only 13. A few years later, his father, a law professor at the University of Ottawa, decided to take a sabbatical and move the family to Barbados. However, standing at only 4'9", Eve began to struggle with anorexia nervosa sometime after his mother's death. Anorexia nervosa, for those who don't know, is an eating disorder where people often struggle with the idea of gaining weight and is often characterized by a thin appearance. They often control their weight in order to become thinner. By March of 1984, only 7 months after moving to Barbados, it was recommended that Eve should return to Canada in order to receive treatment for his condition. When Eve arrived in Canada, he became an inpatient at the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario, or CHEO for short. Eve at this time only weighed 84 pounds. Eve was often described as an artist and a kind-hearted person around this time. He collected comic books and was extremely polite to those who met him. On the day of his disappearance, July 2nd, 1984, Eve was given the go-ahead from CHEO for him to leave the facility for the day. And so, that morning, his grandmother picked him up from the hospital and went to her house. Eve's grandmother only lived about a 5-minute drive from the hospital, so they weren't too far away. Sometime after his arrival, Eve said that he was going to see a movie. He never stated which movie he was going to see, and it is unclear whether his grandmother dropped him off at the theater or if he left the house himself. He said he would return to his grandmother's house by 6:15 to go back to the hospital. Eve missed his 6:15 curfew, but called his grandmother around 7 p.m. and said he was delayed, but would be home soon. Eve never came home. When the investigation began, it soon came out that Eve lied about where he was going that day. Turns out, he had headed towards the suburb of Kanata, an at least 25-minute drive from his grandmother's house. He was headed towards his friend's house, who lived in the area. However, the family wasn't home, so Eve headed over towards the next-door neighbor and asked to use the bathroom. To put this in perspective, Ottawa is essentially formed in a line mostly led by the major highway that runs through the city, meaning that the 25-minute drive has to be without traffic, and it can be implied that he may have taken the city's bus system, which would actually add even more time to how long it took him to get there. For example, if you come from the East End before they switched over to the subway system, it could take up to 2 hours, not even to go fully west, but to just go a bit past the downtown core. Meaning that it could have actually taken him probably closer to an hour and a half to reach his destination if he chose to go by bus. As it currently stands, that's all that's really known about Eve's disappearance. No new information or evidence has really emerged in the past 38 years. So before we get into the theories, I feel like a lot of information has been lost to time. Because this is an almost 40-year case, over time it just ends up getting shelved if they don't have new answers or don't have new information. And it just ends up being that like this case gets lost among the thousands upon thousands of pages for these investigations. I also feel like maybe if someone did have any information, it is possible that either they passed on, or maybe it was lost to memory, or it's been so long that they don't feel like they can come forward at this time, which only leads to just more speculation about what happened to them rather than answers. So the first theory is that Eve ran away. It is very clear that Eve was going through a very difficult time after the loss of his mother. As we said previously, he struggled with anorexia. It can be implied from the description that was given to help identify him that Eve actually self-harmed. In his description, it says that he has scars on his left and right wrists. Now, that it is possible that maybe he got it from something else because he also has a larger scar on his left forearm. But unfortunately, like I said, there's not a lot of detail given into this. So we're unsure, but it can be speculated that perhaps this was self-harm. He also disappeared the day after Canada Day, and oftentimes in Ottawa, people from all over the country come down to the city to celebrate, just to see the fireworks at Parliament or just tour the city's restaurant scene. So it is possible that perhaps someone was traveling through the city for Canada Day and saw him and picked him up, and they traveled somewhere else in the country or somewhere else. Another thing is that we don't know where the phone call that he placed to his grandmother around 7 p.m. was placed. This was back in 1984, so cell phones were not a thing, meaning that this had to have been from a landline, but they're not sure where. What contradicts this theory, similar to the last case we examined, was that he never contacted any friends again after he disappeared that day. He also didn't have any money in his pockets. He only had a couple dollars, so he doesn't have like enough to start a life. Our second theory is that he committed suicide. Once again, with his mental health state and struggling with his anorexia, it is very possible that perhaps he had decided to take his own life. Once again, mentioning the potential of self-harm, and it seems like when he moved down to Barbados, as his anorexia got worse, it can be assumed that his mental health got worse. It's also likely because he never contacted any of his friends again, and he didn't have any money. However, his body was never discovered. There was no suicide note. There is no physical evidence for this theory that he did go and commit suicide. It is only speculation. Our third theory, once again, kind of relies on his condition at that time, and that is that he actually collapsed from the amount of energy he was exuding. Oftentimes, people with eating disorders, if they exude too much energy, they can actually pass out. And it's possible because he did travel halfway across the city and hadn't been used to that kind of travel in at least 4 months, that perhaps he collapsed from overexhaustion and just died. But once again, there's no proof of this. Assuming that he would have collapsed in a public area, there was no reports of any bodies, they did not find him. So I do think this one's very unlikely. And our final theory, and what I believe to be most likely, was that he met with foul play or a hate crime. So starting with the foul play, because of his small stature, remember he's only 4'9", it is possible that perhaps a predator found him and thought him to be a younger child. He was 16 at the time, so regardless, it would still be possible. But perhaps because of how thin he was, maybe they could have thought of him as a younger child and snatched him up. Another part of this is that perhaps one of the people coming from Canada Day were just looking for someone to mess around with and accidentally killed him, and they never found his body. And now what I would say to be the worst of the three possibilities is that he could have been hate-crimed. Now, there are theories online that perhaps Eve was gay. There's a higher likelihood for men who identify as gay to actually have anorexia. And just certain ways that he was described. For example, his father, after he disappeared, said that he might have been staying with, quote, marginal people, end quote, or could have hitchhiked somewhere, which kind of implies that this wasn't something that could have been accepted within his family. Now, we don't know exactly what the father meant by marginal people, but once again, it's been speculated. And especially since this was the 1980s, so not only were gay rights not commonplace, but it was also during the AIDS crisis, where a lot of heterosexual people feared gay people because they didn't understand what was going on, and the framing that AIDS was a, quote, like, gay disease by the American government. As well as speaking to some of the locals, apparently it was very commonplace for certain men to target and attack men they believed to be gay or gay men in a park located in downtown Ottawa called Vincent Massey Park. Apparently it was very common for this to occur, so it is possible that even if Eve wasn't gay, if he appeared to be, that he could have been targeted by someone and attacked. And unfortunately, perhaps it went too far and it resulted in his death. However, similar to the other theories, his body was never found, so it can't be concretely said that he was a victim of a hate crime or murdered. In the end, I'm really hoping that he actually just found peace in his life and ran away, perhaps to just kind of start over. But unfortunately, we don't have any evidence, one theory or the other, and each is as likely as the other. Eve went missing 38 years ago. He was 16 when he disappeared and would be 55 years old today. He is a white male with hazel eyes and last seen with blonde, short, straight hair. While I believe his father and his grandmother have passed on, his siblings still deserve answers as to what happened to him so long ago. Just because a case is old doesn't mean it doesn't deserve to be reopened. Once again, if you have any information relevant to today's case, please contact the Ottawa Police at 613-236-1222 extension 2355 or 1-800-222-8477. Thank you for joining us on Missing by Midnight. Have a good night.